Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And I'm joined now in our Cork studio by our second panel of candidates for the European Parliamentary constituency of Ireland South. They are Sinn Féin TD for Carlo Kilkenny, Kathleen Function, Fine Gael candidate John Mullins, Independent TD for Clare, Michael McNamara, and Green Party MEP Grace O'Sullivan. And thank you all for coming in this morning to talk to us. I'm going to start on climate action. Grace, you've been an MEP for 5 years. Your party, the Green Party's in government. We're still way off where we need to be, though. The Green agenda has never faced more backlash than it does in this moment. I mean, what's your assessment of where your agenda is at after all of this time now in power, in government and in Europe?
Yeah. So, Claire, good morning. And I've been on the Environment, Public Health and Food Safety Committee in the European Parliament over the last 5 years. And the issue of climate change has been front and central. You might remember Ursula von der Leyen when she became president. She said that climate, environment, these green issues, the Green Deal was critically important.
She's had to roll back on that. I mean, you'd accept
that. But that's what, completely, Claire, that's what the point I was going to make is, it's absolutely disgrace because she has already indicated in the next mandate that she is going to roll back on climate issues. And that is shocking because for the last 5 months in a row, we've seen air temperatures increase globally. We've seen sea temperatures increase like never before because of global warming. And so what are we doing? We are, as far as I'm concerned, the Greens are the change makers because we have at least finally got the impetus going to start the projects in terms of renewable energy.
But you're there and you got a great vote the last time out and this has happened, you know?
Oh no, but Claire, in terms of energy, Ireland has decreased 7% over the last year in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. So across different sectors, we're making gains. In other areas, we have things to do. The point I want to make is we cannot, at this point, regress. We have to keep the momentum going because von der Leyen gave that security to investors to move into green areas.
So you're saying you have to guard against that.
I'm saying I need to stay to guard against that.
Well, John Mullins, really interesting yesterday what the Taoiseach had to say. This big play of reaching out to dairy farmers on herd numbers. There'll be no cuts, he said, to the herd in this country. We've 38% of our emissions, though, coming from agriculture. Like, how can voters be clear on your climate credentials now as the Fine Gael candidate?
Well, we have and Grace knows this quite well, we actually have a climate action plan. By law, we have to meet our requirements by 2030. The reality is 55% by 2030 is a significant challenge for every country, but it's a particular challenge for Ireland. In the context of the national herd, that, you know, I've been canvassing right across Ireland, meeting farmers, you know, they have a number of real concerns, by the way. Nitrates derogation is a big issue for them.
And Martin Hayden saying that you're going to hold what you have despite what you've been
told.
Claire,
we have one of the most sustainable food production industries in the world. And the reality is that they're grass-fed, unlike other countries in Europe, and certainly when we compare against South America, the practices are quite different.
We have a huge issue with water pollution. That's why we're in this position.
I think you'll see right across the country, there's enormous investment with the help of ACRE schemes and also TAM schemes, by the way, grants for farmers. There is real mitigation happening in terms of water emissions. And we are seeing, in my view, improvements in water quality. In fact, actually, the issues that we really have to tackle with respect to water quality are still around infrastructure in wastewater treatment plants, by the way, which are created by urban settings and semi-urban urban settings rather than rural settings. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that the Green Party in government have agreed with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that we will actually meet our targets by 2030. It's a real challenge. We have to do things across EVs, retrofit, farming practice changes. But we need to motivate farmers, by the way, to change practices. But there's no reason why we should reduce the national herd and actually eliminate any industry that we spent decades
forming. Is talking about elimination in fairness. But Michael McNamara, I mean, you heard the Green MEP who is frustrated. We see what Ursula von der Leyen has promised to do. I mean, what can an independent MEP achieve on just transition and on climate action?
An independent MEP can do what an independent TD has done, and that's to point out that the government are not meeting their own targets. They're not going anywhere near them. They have a target of 5 gigawatts of offshore, or megawatts rather, of offshore of offshore wind generation by 2030. They upped that to 7 magically overnight because they had to make the balance the books. By my calculation, I put them to Leo Varadkar and the Dáil. They're not going to get past 3.5 by 2030. They simply can't. That's stationary offshore wind generation. Floating offshore is the, Leo Varadkar described it as our moonshot. Yet the government is doing nothing. The department that Eamon Ryan runs is stalling on that. International investors are coming to the Midwest, meeting with the Shannon Task Force, meeting with the Shannon Fines Port Authority, who have very ambitious plans. Then they meet with the government centrally and they leave shaking their heads and they go on and they invest in Scotland or Portugal or other countries in the Western seaboard. Energy generation is our biggest emitter and we're not doing anything like enough to meet those targets. With regard to agriculture, yes, agriculture is a part to play, but again, the European Commission did a survey pointing out that Ireland and Denmark were the countries with the greatest potential to develop biomethane, so that instead of methane being emitted into the atmosphere, it's being used to fuel industry or even our homes. Again, there was a fund...
So what can you achieve as an independent MEP on all of this?
You can point out, you can put pressure on the government the same as every other elected representative can do if they choose to meet the targets. I mean, our government are great at making targets. Year on, every year there's a new target, but none of them are being met. I mean, if transport is our biggest emitter, we're one of the few countries left with diesel trains running between our mainline cities. Nothing, anything. And these are areas directly within the remit of the government that they're not doing anything to meet. And investors are incredibly frustrated. John is absolutely right. There are no shortage of investors, but they're not investing in Ireland because the central government... There's nothing happening with offshore.
He says government is sending them away, John, to Scotland.
The reality of the situation is we have 46% renewable energy in this country, by the way, and we've been at it since 1990. There's no floating offshore because there are commercial pilots out there, Michael. And the reality is, I know the industry quite well because I was involved in the Arklow offshore plant 25 years ago with NTR. I can tell you categorically...
25 years ago, and it's still not up and running.
There's plenty of offshore.
Gentler, can I make
can you leave it there? Because Kathleen Function... No, Kathleen Function hasn't spoken yet. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So in relation to the climate agenda, we know that government has completely failed. And I think there's three very distinct priorities that we need to be looking at in relation to this. The first one is us to have our energy independence, and that means investment in offshore. And there are some fantastic projects, Waterford Port, for example, and Rosslare Port, that's Waterford and Wexford, working together for the southeast region in terms of offshore energy. They have a fantastic proposal, no government investment when it's needed. We also need to look at retrofitting. There is so many homes that need to be retrofitted. No, what's happening is there is piecemeal grants, people who want to insulate their homes, people who want to upgrade their windows, people who are actually really suffering because of fuel poverty and because of other measures by this government that they haven't tackled the cost of living. People go for the grants, they're allocated a certain amount, they are regularly coming into my office saying we're short 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, where do we get the rest of the money? The reality is there is no place else for them to get the rest
of
the money.
The point is that
if government are serious about a just transition, which I'm sure people listening in are sick of hearing that phrase, there's no actual action behind that. There's no proper funding. Okay. Let's actually give proper grants to people. Let's take people out of fuel poverty. Let's bring people on this journey. Great. And the other thing as well is public transport. So we need to get energy independence with the offshore, particularly those regions in the southeast that are ready to go. They just need the government investment and we need public transport. People don't want to have to be using their cars. The reality is in this constituency, there's huge amounts of rural towns and villages that have been decimated, left behind.
And
they have
not
no
connected.
Public transport.
Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Because really, you know, we're here to talk about the European Union, European Parliament and becoming members. But just to get back to the points raised there, public transport, there has been a massive increase and uptake in Rural Link, 360% in some areas. So that is starting to happen. The change makers are here. That's why the Greens are in government. The accessibility, that's one thing. The cost is the other. The fares have come down dramatically. So making it more interesting for people to use and available and economic for people to use public transport. Retrofitting. My colleague Ciarán Cuff worked on the Energy Performance in Building Directive, which we got over the line in this Parliament. That's money going to come into retrofitting to make houses, as you say, energy efficient. And then thirdly, so there is...
Let me say it though.
The thing is that that's where Europe comes in, because in terms of the whole energy transition, there's the this European network of funding which is available to Ireland. So it is happening, and it is wrong to say it's not happening, because it is happening. Yeah, and that's from my perspective, the Greens in government
trying to retrofit is they are not getting adequate funds, and then what happens is they can't do any of it, and people want to upgrade their systems and they want to come on this journey.
Taxes that we're actually collecting are going back into social housing and warmer home schemes right across the country. And Kathleen knows this, by the way. And, you know, we need to fact check exactly what she's saying in that regard. When it comes to renewable energy, we've had
so many people telling us on this programme that you have to shell out the money first in order to get it back.
When we come to renewable energy, by the way, the most secure we can become with respect to energy security is with more renewable energy. You know, I've been involved in building 1,000 megawatts of renewable energy, wind and solar and offshore, by the way, in this country, in my history. I know all about the challenges. And in fact, Kathleen is correct, by the way. As a former chairman of a port, I know exactly what type of investment is needed.
Why are energy bills so expensive?
Well, energy bills are expensive here, by the way. Number one, because we have too high standing charges in networks. We are investing in renewables.
There's projects ready to go. I was with the Water Report. Projects there ready to go.
That's partly because of the planning, Kathleen. That's a failure of government.
That you're claiming that you are claiming credit for. The Greens are in government. They have a duty to solve the planning problems instead of just letting investors come and go.
The Greens are working on the transformation.
Okay, we can't. If everyone's talking, we can't hear anything. Okay,
are the ones who are trying to get things over the line to build and develop at scale. So we hang on just so that we make the energy transition we need. Why? Because climate change is happening. Global warming is accelerating. We know what we have to do. And I agree with you, Michael. We need to get on it.
Then why are they refusing to commence that mapping process off our Atlantic coast, which Leo Varadkar and other ministers have called? No, it's nowhere. It's not even started.
Grace, just let him say what he wants to say and we'll come back.
We have the capacity to not alone fuel Ireland, but to help fuel other parts of Europe, but we are doing nothing. Eamon Ryan's department is sitting on its hands. County councils are offering staff to help the process to move along, and they are refusing to accept it. Farmers want to develop biomethane plants, and they are refusing to apply for grants to the European Commission to move that along. It seems to me that it is easier to do nothing and blame farmers.
I'm at a loss here to figure out how any of you feel that you can go to Brussels and solve this problem.
Can I come in on that, Claire? So, in
take your Waterford port proposal. Yeah. How are you going to go over as an MEP now and fix all that?
Yeah, because there is actually funding as well that can be obtained from Europe in relation to this. Now, our own government needs to take responsibility as well, and they need to be doing an awful lot more. But it's about working in conjunction, and there is a very strong role for MEPs in relation to renewable energy and getting projects like this over the line. Mm. And not only is this a climate and us to have energy independence, but this is fantastic boost for that region as well in terms of jobs.
When I was the chairman of Port here in Ringaskiddy, we built a new container terminal, and in that particular process I was deeply involved with EIB funding. I've been involved in EIB funding for the past 25, 30 years. All of these projects, as Kathleen has pointed out, by the way, are qualifying for EIB funding. And I have the experience, by the way, of drawing down that money in the context of creating a 75 million new container port in Cork Port. And in fact, it is correct to say that Waterford Port, in particular Rosslare Port, and also the Port of Cork, are prime locations, as is Shannon Fine's, progressively, once the offshore industry moves to the West, because their priority, I can tell you from speaking to all of these companies, is that they will start on the East Coast because it's more sheltered, and they will move around Helvik, and they will move progressively to the West Coast.
Right.
Because the wind speeds and the conditions are too difficult for offshore energy, and the technologies
we'll
are more expensive.
We will take a break and we will come back with more issues from Ireland South after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. Email todaycb@rte.ie.
And we're back with our Ireland South panel. Kathleen Function, Sinn Féin TD for Carlo Kilkenny, Fine Gael candidate John Mullins, Independent TD for Clare, Michael McNamara, and Green Party MEP Grace O'Sullivan. We're going to return now to immigration. The trend across Europe is for an increase in numbers seeking asylum. And Michael, you have been very vocal on the migration issue. You took Helen McEntee to task recently over deportations. And I think people might be confused as to why a former Labour TD appears to be taking a hard line on people who are seeking refuge in Ireland. Can you explain your position?
Yeah, I can very easily. I mean, Labour, like every other party, acknowledge, and I'm not a member of that party, acknowledge that you have to have an immigration system. It has to function, it has to be efficient, it has to be fair. It is none of those things. The immigration system in Ireland is dysfunctional, and that is a big problem for everybody. It's a big problem for everybody in this state, and it's also a big problem for people claiming asylum. It's unfair to say I've been hardline, I've been questioning of the government over its complete failures to implement its own rules on immigration over the lifetime of this government. And I stand over that. I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. If I had challenged the government on any other area of policy, I don't think you'd be asking me this question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose I'm giving you the opportunity to explain your position, because people did see that you took Helen McEntee to task, and I know that clip from
Helen McEntee to task for the fact that she said that
on
the
deportations.
Transfers on Dublin 3 transfers, where in 188 cases, another country had accepted responsibility for dealing with somebody's asylum claim, and in only three did the Irish government manage, or did the Department of Justice manage to transfer them in the entirety of last year.
Right, well,
I think that is something that the minister has not been asked by RTE, by the way, to explain at any point, and I'd like to know why that is.
We're very happy to have the minister at any time, and we'll ask her that question.
I'd be very happy to have RTE asking the minister difficult questions
around
her failure.
We ask all sorts of difficult questions here, Michael, all of the time.
Her failure to apply an immigration system and a policy which is her own.
Speaking of hardline questions, John, Fine Gael is aligned to the European People's Party. The manifesto for its candidates calls for stepped-up deportations, the designation of a range of new safe countries to which people can be returned. It deals with external countries that can be used to take migrants for processing. That is hardline. Do you sign up to all of that?
Well, on the last point, I have a difficulty with a Rwanda-like solution, and I think our party certainly would want to look at that very, very hard if and when it's proposed. What I would say is that, you know, I find it ironic with Michael that, you know, Michael was one person who welcomed amnesty for an undocumented number of years ago on the basis that it was a very good thing for the undocumented Irish in Boston and New York. And clearly, in the context of migration, we have to be very careful here, Claire. One in every five persons in this country, working in this country, was not born in this country. And they are actually, because of the rhetoric and the echo chamber, they actually feel, quite nervous about the commentariat, the commentary that's actually happening in this market. I know that because I have people working in the company that I founded concerned about that, people who came to this country because there are gaps in the market. What I will say to you is that we have to be more firm with respect to the rules because the numbers are increasing. And the numbers are increasing in particular, not coming from EU through airports and ports. In fact, actually, we had over a 30% reduction, by the way, last year in terms of people presenting themselves.
So it's back to that border.
It's back to the border issue. And then when I hear, leaflets going out from Sinn Féin about open borders, the reality is we fought like hell to keep the 500-kilometre border in the Brexit negotiations open so that people could actually go about their business on a daily basis uninterrupted. Now, we are doing checks, by the way, on buses and trains. People actually are being returned over to Holyhead and also to Belfast, which is exactly what Michael wanted. And in terms of actually the rules-based approach, the government is getting much more firm.
Okay.
And just on the numbers, finally, can I just say
really
one
quickly?
There are 417 people now working in IPAS. That's a 95% increase
on
where
we
are.
We know the numbers. We know the numbers have increased. Yeah, Kathleen, I have to hear from Kathleen. Kathleen Function now. Your party voted against the EU migration pact. Do you have a bespoke solution for Ireland operating outside of that?
So there was two elements of the migration pact that we supported that we thought were good and in Ireland's interest. But we do think it's really important that it is the Irish government that have a say over the migration issue. And what we have seen, particularly in the last 2 years, is nothing short of shambolic from this government. They have not dealt with the issue at all. You know, what we want to see is we want to see a fair system. We want to see a system that is efficient, that works. I think the vast majority of people in this country welcome people coming to the country. They see when they go into their hospitals, into our hospitals, into our hospitality industry, food production, you know, the amount of people who are not from Ireland that are working in these industries.
So you want
that
you want the existing rules to be applied, which is what John Mullen says is happening.
What we need, Claire, is a plan. Right. Well, we needed a plan and we need it to work. It needs to be fair. It needs to be efficient and it does need to be enforced. We haven't seen that from this government. But then again, this is the government that are look at the situation that we have in our housing system. Record number of homeless, record number of children homeless. I'm not surprised that they're not dealing with this issue. But that is what we need. We need a system that works, that, you know, that is fair to people. It is very unfair when people are coming in, that it's not like they're fleeing really horrific situations. And they're not being dealt with.
Okay,
you know,
Michael,
in a
conscious that you
way.
Want to get back in, and then I'll come to you, Grace. Michael, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to agree that the system is not being implemented. We consistently hear about
even
rules,
now
but
what we've heard in the last couple of weeks from the government.
Even now, it's not being implemented. I mean, John talked about the increase in the number of IPAS staff, and yes, there has been an increase, but that increase is nowhere near the increase in applications. So that backlog is building up. There are almost 21,000 people.
One person for
waiting.
Every 50 applications, Michael.
John, there are are you telling me that the increase in applications has not exceeded the increase in the staff that have been hired
with
them?
This is the reason why the staff have been put in there. With the processing of these applications and to get them around within 90 days.
John, the staff that have been hired are nowhere near, that the proportion is nowhere near the same as the increase in applications.
And what's your sizing?
So the backlog... resource the decision making process.
150 should be more than enough.
But it's not.
Now,
it's
Grace,
patently not, because the backlog is growing.
Kathleen,
and the number
Function
of people
has told us that she has concerns around the EU migration pact for a number of reasons. And the concerns some people have relate to the fact that we could be heading down the road of a Rwanda style British plan where we're sending people back to a country and we might be very uncomfortable in the main with doing that. Do you share that concern?
Well, look, first, I am similar to Sinn Féin. I didn't agree with all of the articles in the migration pact, the asylum and migration pact, because I had concerns. The first point was in terms of humanitarian resettlement, so that there's safe passageways for migrants when they're travelling or when they're fleeing persecution or coming through the Mediterranean. The reason I did that was because I went to Lesbos. I saw firsthand what it was like, the conditions for people arriving in Europe as part of a European mission. And also I went there to support Sean Binder, the humanitarian worker from Ireland, and his colleagues who were being criminalised for helping people in that safe passage. So in terms of the creating a fortress Europe, I have concerns about that. And the other area I have major concerns is the whole fingerprinting of migrants who
as
come
young
in
as six.
As young as six. So like we had real serious concerns. So,
But can Ireland do this outside of that? That's the question, isn't it?
So Ireland, you know, I suppose we're in a unique situation. We're an island nation. We don't have, boats coming across the Irish Sea. But we have to take a humanitarian approach. We have to do what we can. We have to be able to have the flexibility. And I think that's the point I want to come back to in terms of the conversation, is that, you know, when the war, when Putin attacked Ukraine, we saw, we opened our arms to 100,000 Ukrainians on a temporary protection directive, which is the European directive. Many of those people are going back. The majority that are here now are mainly women, children, and 30% of those who are here, Ukrainians, are actually gainfully working. Then, so that's one thing. Then in terms of the international protection applicants, of course, we have to manage the capacity of those coming in. So I suppose going back to the basics of what Kathleen said, we do need to plan better, and we do need to have flexibility to be able to adapt. And I think just to remember COVID, like when COVID happened, we really... within the European Union, we worked in solidarity, we worked together, and we came up with solutions.
And that's why the migration pact that's is what important, we have because to, it is all
precisely,
about consolidation.
And that's what we have to do with migration, is that we certainly, from an Irish perspective,
What's your view on the migration pact? Do you think that that might provide a solution to this really difficult problem?
I mean, the migration pact is about setting targets for processing people more quickly. There is nothing to prevent the government processing people more. John, you keep saying that, but then how are the numbers exponentially increasing? Yeah, you're doing everything. But people see that the numbers of tents on the streets of Dublin are growing, and they're growing faster every day by the number of people who are backlogged.
And
nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. But John, you've interrupted me throughout now. There's a backlog, and it is growing, despite John saying that everything is fine, there's nothing to see. There's a backlog and it's growing. The Migration Pact is about setting targets. There was nothing stopping the minister speeding up our system up to now. It is a matter of resourcing it. And the last stage of it, after people, if they have been refused asylum and they've been refused an appeal, then they can make a permission to remain. That is backlogged. At the start of this year, there were more people waiting for a decision than the number of decisions made in the entirety of last year. That's not even covered by the Migration Pact. I have no confidence in the Department of Justice to apply the timelines, because they fail to apply their own timelines. They fail to implement their own system up to now.
Really briefly,
the Asylum Pact, won't come into effect until 2026.
No, we have to do things
I don't accept the premise
from Michael at all that 417 people, one to every 50 applications, by the way, is not going to improve processing times. We have a responsibility in Ireland, by the way, to take care of our own business and to do it properly. That's why there is an investment. And our leader and Taoiseach, by the way, Simon Harris, has made it very clear that actually we're going to create more centres. And it was announced this morning, as you well know, that Thornton Hall is going to be used.
Well,
and I'd like to see more locations, by the way, where we can actually bring people off the streets and directly put them into new accommodation.
Kathleen, does that not address the point that you made earlier? You said that the government had made a mess over the last two years of the asylum issue. So what you've seen over the last week or so, 2 weeks, with the announcement this morning or today about Thornton Hall, do you think that goes some way to addressing it?
We do need to see a plan put in place. And it really is disgraceful that there hasn't been a plan to date. I think if this is one of the situations that works, there was talk of six accommodation centres, that hasn't happened. But this wasn't one of the original ones. I think what all of this points to, Claire, all of the issues around migration and also the earlier discussion around climate and the stuff on the earlier panel, is we have been so badly failed by this Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government. And four out of our five MEPs currently in Ireland South are government parties, and that needs to change. And that is the message I want to get out today. People, we need to really have change at all levels, local, European and national, and that starts on the 7th of June, and I hope people take that opportunity to vote for myself and Paul Galvin, my running mate here in Ireland South, as MEPs that will stand up, that don't want to see Ursula von der Leyen back in charge, that want to protect Irish neutrality, that want to get the European Union back to focusing on communities, on people and on workers, because it's totally gone away from that. And they're the real issues that people want to talk talk about and want to raise.
I've been hearing Sinn Féin on debates and on Canvas and right across the across Ireland South, and they're always mixing the migration issue with housing. Now, a statistic that's just come out, by the way, is that 18,000 commencements have happened in April, by the way. In the last 12 months, we've had 53,117 commencements in housing.
You're not going to be able to do anything about housing.
There was a very serious housing crisis in this country long before migration was an issue.
Every time you talk about migration,
that's totally incorrect, John.
The housing crisis has been here for many years.
For the 13 years that you've been in government, there's been a housing crisis, and you've done absolutely nothing to fix it.
That's incorrect, by the way.
100% correct. How many children are in child homelessness
right now? All
right,
a minute and a half left.
We have a direct provision centre which is supposed to accommodate people who are in the asylum system. Almost a quarter of the people who are in direct provision are people who have come through the asylum system, been granted status, and have nowhere to go. The Department of Housing and the Department of Integration are playing ping pong with them. The Department of Housing say, we've enough people on housing lists, we don't want to deal with them. So of course there is a link. If a fifth of the people in direct provision are people who should not be there but have nowhere else to go. It is, John, I don't know how you can say there's no link.
How can you solve that if you go to Brussels as, a, as an independent MEP? How can you influence that? You can influence it
in the same way as you can as a Dáil TD. Because the reality is our Dáil, the only people who have power in our Dáil are those who sit at Cabinet. Everybody, all the backbenchers just vote for what's put in front of them. So you have the same power as an MEP, albeit a greater power, because instead of representing a part of the country, you represent a larger part of the country, and point out the complete failure of this state to apply its own immigration system.
When elected, so in my case, I'd be a part of a green group in the European Parliament. The Parliament works by groups. Independence can fall anywhere. I'd like to ask you, which group will you join? Because I don't think you're right in terms of what you can do back in the door.
All right, have you a quick answer to that, Michael?
I'm not going to prejudge what the people of Ireland are going to decide.
Okay, we've got to leave it there. Thank you very much for coming in. Grace O'Sullivan, Michael McNamara, John Mullins and Kathleen Function. Thank you for joining us on the programme. We'll take a break back after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
And my thanks again to all of the Ireland South candidates who came in to join us here in our Cork studio. And the other candidates running for Europe in Ireland South are Sean Kelly, Fine Gael, Paul Gavin, who is Sinn Féin, Cynthia Ní Bhfear Cú, Fianna Fáil, Susan Doyle, the Social Democrats, Patrick Murphy, AIM 2, Cian Prendeville, People Before Profit Solidarity, Eddie Punch, Independent Ireland, Derek Bligh, Ireland First, Ross Lahive, the Irish People's Party, Michael Leahy, the Irish Freedom Party, and there are five other independent candidates: Graham De Barra, Christopher V.S. Doyle, Mary Fitzgibbon, Kieran O'Riordan and Una McGurr. I just need to mention candidates who are running in Dublin, because we had mention of one of them, so we want to be fair. This is in the European Parliament election. So the list of candidates are Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, Independent, Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil, Rebecca Barrett, the National Party, Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin, Niall Boylan, Independent Ireland, Robin Cofola, Independent, Aisling Considine, AIM 2, Claire Daly, Independence for Change, Regina Doherty, Fine Gael, Dahi Doolan, Sinn Féin, Philip Dwyer, Ireland First, Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats, Andy Heisman, The Irish People, Conor Murphy, Independent, Eamon Murphy, Independent, Dermot O'Conron, Irish Freedom Party, Brendan Ogle, Independent, Éan O'Riordan, the Labour Party, Stephen O'Rourke, Independent, Patrick Quinlan, the National Party, Breed Smith, People Before Profit Solidarity, and Maliki Steenson, Independent.